We'll begin 2008 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the first RAIN report for 2008, available for the past 18 months as a downloadable MP3 file and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Now that the happy holidays are now behind us for another month, it's time to look ahead to getting geared up for those all-important and even fun public service events. One Vermont ham who's well-versed in the do's and don'ts of public service is Mitch Stern, W1SJ.
The first thing is you have to get involved in the public service event. I run the communications for the Vermont City Marathon, and I'm having trouble finding operators because, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing, of course, the event is Memorial Day weekend, that doesn't help, but you got to get involved, you got to do these things. I find these super emergency preparedness hams. Oh yeah, I'm ready for an emergency. Oh, I don't have time to help you, but I'm ready for an emergency. So, well, if you're not practicing and working out, then how ready are you? So you got to decide what role you're going to participate in. Are you going to be a chief or an Indian? I mean, you're going to be the guy on the street doing the communications, or you're going to be the organizer. And that's pretty important. And if you're an Indian, it means you better be an Indian. You better bow down to the chief, because it definitely has to be a flow here. So you have to prepare for the event. So if you have to go to a checkpoint somewhere, or you have to stand somewhere, you better know where that is. Don't show up on the day of the race or the event and say, I don't know where it is, I'm lost. And the Net Control is busy with 20 other disasters, and they shouldn't have to serve as a talking station for you. You should know what frequencies you got to be on. You should have all your information with you. You should have a spare battery. You should have maps. You should have extra clothing. All that stuff is called preparation. And then you operate if you only be of assistance. Some people feel they're not being useful if they are not talking. I look at it the other way. I feel you're being useful if you're not talking, unless I ask you a question. We better do a good job. There's a lot of non-hams watching. If we look like a bunch of bozos, it gives a black eye to all of us. I mean, that just goes without saying. So you want, after the event, you want the non-hams to ooh and ah over what we've done. So some of the things about operating. And I give this speech to my operators in public service events year after year after year. The number one job is to communicate. Now, you may feel like you can help some people out by moving traffic cones or talking to these guys or doing this or doing that. That's fine. I don't care what you do. But when I call you on the radio, I want an answer within seconds. If you cannot do that, you are of no use. You're the communicator. That's what we need to do. The other guys can't talk on the radio. You need to do that. And you need to focus on that is the priority. The number one ability is to listen. So in an event, the Net Control is giving information, is asking questions, is doing things. You have to listen and interpret that. If you're not listening, if the headphones are wrong or you can't hear whatever, you cannot do your job. An operator in a public service event has to gather and organize information quickly. You're dealing with non-hams. They need to pass communications. They're going to say something to you. You need to take that information, that question, or whatever it is, boil it down to as few words as possible, and in one shot communicate it so that the Net Control gets it. Some guys don't do that. They say, well, let me see, and they're making it up as they're going along with a lot of uhs and ums and whatever. 2 minutes later, people have dropped dead along the course and whatever else, and they're still trying to figure out what they're trying to say. That doesn't work. And that's hard to do because you got to think on your feet. A lot of us don't do that very well. It takes a lot of practice. You hear it in one ear, you process it, and it comes out your mouth, boom, boom. It takes practice. You can't read that in the book and get it. There's a think before speaking again. Make sure that when you say something the public service event's appropriate, you're not giving out sensitive information, you're not giving out something the media may pick up on and run with. What is it you're saying? Is it appropriate to say it on ham radio at all? Transmissions must be short. I'm looking for 10 to 15 seconds max. I don't want a whole story. I don't want a whole monologue. I want who, what, when, where. I don't even need to know the how. I'll find that out later. Always follow the directions of your supervisor, your Net Control, whoever's running the show. If you don't agree with them, follow those directions anyway and have a discussion afterwards over lunch or pizza. Don't get into a big fight over it on the air. That's the wrong time and place. Or if you don't like the guy, the way they're running it, don't come back the next year. But having a firefight on the frequency really is bad. So we do things called tactical call signs. Tactical call sign describes your job function. Station 3, SAG vehicle, lead bicycle, whatever it is. So everyone on the net knows what you're doing. They may not know who you are, but they know what you are doing. It's an important thing that there's a big but. What's the big but? You still got to give the real call sign every 10 minutes. They don't waive that. I hear these public service events, and I don't hear a call sign for hours on end. I says, boy, if Riley were here, he'd have a field day. Still got to give you a call sign. So now we're going to talk about equipment, and we're going to see this is even more crucial. If and when your radio dies, you cease to be an amateur radio operator. Radio dies, you are now a civilian. You don't want that to happen. The way you keep it from happening is, A, you have a backup battery, because batteries subscribe to the Murphy rule. They die when it is the worst time, even if you charged it up. NiCads have a life of their own. They have their own mind and whatever, and even the lithium batteries do some strange things at some strange times. Have a second battery. Better yet, have a second radio, because radios do stupid things too. That's what it takes to be the communicator that you can be counted on to do it, because you're at a key point, the radio goes dead. Oh, sorry, I can't help you. I got to go home, get another battery. Go home, don't come back. We need to replace you now. You can't do the job. If you don't use the radio for 6 months, it sits on the shelf, and then you charge it up overnight, that's probably not going to work. Batteries like to be exercised, so you have to properly charge them. Usually I charge them, I let them run for a day, I charge them back up. That's how you know if the thing's going to work or not.
You're listening to a 2007 Dayton Hamvention Forum talk by longtime public service participant and event coordinator Mitch Stern, W1SJ. We'll conclude his talk about the do's and don'ts of public service in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. See QRZ.com for his bio.
Learn how to fully operate your equipment. So something happens, you got to change frequency. Half the people on the net can't figure out how to get the offset in. The other half can't figure out how to get the tone in. Everyone's everywhere. What a mess. My wife was helping out one of these things. She says, oh, I don't need to know how to use the radio. Put it in memory. What if the ones in memory are not the ones we're going to end up using because something happens? All three repeaters blow up. Happens. If you're going to go out on the course, you got to be able to enter frequency, offset, and tone. Those three things. If that's the only thing you can do, that's fine. That's all you need to be able to do. But if you can't do those three things, then you're walking around with a crutch. You're going to have a problem. In a public service event, it's not about QRP. It's not about weak signal work. It's about having a reliable signal. If you're reporting somebody who has an injury, I don't want to have a weak signal fading in and out of the repeater, and I'm guessing what you're saying. That doesn't work. You need to be full quieting and then some, which means radio on maximum power and best antenna you can use. Save the weak power stuff for the QRP contest later on. That, I need to be able to hear you. So let me have to deal with this. People have the HT on the belt, and they got the speaker mic or whatever. Well, the HT on your belt, the antenna is like an inch from your body. And if you learn about RF safety, the human body absorbs your 1 or 2 watts. Doesn't do very good for your kidneys, and it certainly doesn't do very good for your signal. It doesn't get out very well. And in any event, you hear somebody is noisy, whatever, I says, get the HT off the belt. And then all of a sudden, they're dead full quieting. And I knew exactly what they were doing. If you're really prepared, you check your coverage. You go to wherever it is you're going to be operating from, probably with an HT, and using another HT or another mobile, you actually walk around where you think you're going to be and listen to where your dead spots are and make a mental note of where the dead spots are and don't walk into them. I mean, I know around my house, various places where I have trouble with the repeater, I don't talk when I'm walking in those areas or when I'm driving around town. I know there's certain areas where it's bad. That's when I go into listen mode. If you're really prepared, you do that ahead of time. Do not use Vox. I catch somebody using one of those Vox headsets or whatever. If I'm nice, I just take it away from them. If I'm really in a bad mood, I take it, put it around their neck, and pull it tight because those Voxes will lock up. The guy using the Vox will always be stationed next to a band. So then we hear band music all day long. The thing is locking up. And then they lock the repeater up. And what they don't know is I have my fox hunting equipment with me. And I'll track them down. They're usually not far away. And I have to tap them on the shoulder and embarrass them. Always have headphones available. So sometimes I don't use the headphones. Sometimes I do. It depends on what's going on. If it's really noisy, I put the headphones on so I can hear. And you guys say, well, I can't hear. It's noisy here. I says, well, put your headphones on. So this is all good stuff. And this is stuff you got to think about. So here's the real big questions. If you were suddenly called into action, let's say it's not Dayton weekend because, you know, this is a special weekend. But let's say this was last week and all of a sudden there was a disaster. Are you ready? Is your battery charged? Majority of hams know the battery's dead. The car radio is disconnected. This is messed up. That the antenna fell over. You're not ready. You can't help out very well. So in a real disaster, infrastructure goes out, and infrastructure goes out for a long time. The power goes out for weeks. Well, you can't charge your battery now by plugging it in. Do you have a way to charge your battery? Can you run it off the car? Do you have gas to run the car? Do you have a generator? I don't know. If you're going to be super ham and do this communications, what are you going to use the power of this thing? You got a little hand crank thing? That may be the thing to have. This is one where they got really red-faced in New York. It was a few years ago in August. That power line right here in Ohio went down around Cleveland, and the whole Northeast blacked out. In Vermont, finally, our power company, somebody did something smart. They saw it go propagating across New York State, and they pulled the plug. We kept our power because they pulled the plug in time. But everyone else went out, including New York City, and all the Ares groups ramped up into action, and they were having their nets and everything, except for one thing. The Ares repeater did not have backup power. There was no Ares net. They all got on simplex with their HTs. Nobody can hear anyone. And then they got on the few repeaters that had battery backup. That worked for about an hour or two, till the batteries went dead. After 24 hours, I think there was one repeater in the whole metropolitan New York area that was active, from what I was told. If you lost power for a week, how good is our emergency response now if all the repeaters go out? Do you have ways to power yourself up and charge your batteries? And yet the most important one, can you really do this? Let's say you were one of the hams in New Orleans and all of a sudden the tide starts coming in. Are you in a position to provide emergency communications, or are you kind of worried about saving your own skin first? Usually, you can't do anything if you're in the disaster area. We got to bring people into those areas. That's an important thing, is that if this is going on, can you deal with it?
Mitch Stern, W1SJ, a Vermont ham who is well-versed in the do's and don'ts of public service, both from a participant's standpoint as well as that of an event coordinator. The Rain Report is copyright 2008, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rain's founder-producer, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 and happy new year from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.